Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent black people. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins. What's going on, everybody? I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. I wanted to come in today and ask some serious questions about rappers and beef, particularly Drake and Kendrick Lamar. In case you've been following, Drake and Kendrick Lamar have been in this just really epic, chaotic battle where it's going beyond just the music. Somebody got shot today. I don't know if that's related to the beef or not, but it's a funny coincidence that it happened at the same time. And it really made me ask that question in terms of, like, what is beef? I think that Biggie had a song called What Is Beef? And I really wanted to ask this question. I said, why is it that rappers, how is it that black men, how is it that we're the only group of people on earth where somebody can die because somebody made a song? Somebody could literally go out and put sound into the universe that gets somebody killed. If that ain't voodoo, I don't know what is. If that ain't a type of bitchcraft, witchcraft, I don't know what is. And we're going to break that down. We're going to talk about white people a little bit and why rappers love to beef with each other, but will never beef against white supremacy. They will never do a drive-by on racism. They will never run up on the public school system. They'll beat up on each other, but they got nothing to say to the slave masters that run their industry. And we're going to talk about some other aspects of this as well. So get comfortable, buckle up a seatbelt. We're going to get started on DrBoyceTV.com right now.
Here we are, clan the isms, cataclysm, great. Our people out here struggling, trying to make it in this state. Everybody out here doing it, but we the ones who late. Now family, we the ones who gotta delegate. Get that money in the power, never be fake. Stick to cosign for three, what did he say? Create jobs, support our own. Educate the same and buy back your home. Got 3 degrees, triple 10. 3 PhDs, now we on the CNN. DBTV, let's talk about negligence. Ignorance is bliss, but we can turn it to intelligence. Please, none of what you hear, half of what you see. Let's break it down here on Dr. Boyce TV.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent black people. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day, and I hope you're also prepared to think, to open your mind, and maybe be a little pissed off, because I'm probably going to say some stuff that's going to make somebody mad. I kind of do that, and I can't apologize for that, because that's just me being me. And I hope that we can have a tough conversation and still be loved. Give me a yes in the chat if you are prepared to be open-minded. Give me a yes if you want to hear new ideas. Give me a yes if you want to explore the parts of these conversations, like this thing with Drake and Kendrick Lamar, that maybe isn't being discussed in media. So give me a yes if it's okay if we have a broader conversation and not just Negro talk. I hope that's okay. All right, good. Because I want to make sure that we're ready for this, because, you know, I understand sometimes when you talk about stuff like this, people don't get it. They say, well, you're 52 years old and you're a professor. Why are you talking about rappers, doc? You're too old. Man, first of all, I've seen the beefs. Like, I go, you know, I go back. My first big beef I saw was Ice Cube and NWA. And I remember everybody thinking that somebody was going to get killed, because you have those beefs that spill out of the studio and spill into the streets, and they get very, very real. So I know the history. I can compare this to Tupac, because I lived through watching Tupac and Biggie die. And I remember watching it happen and knowing that somebody was going to end up dead. And then also, because you know what? If you are a black man and you don't pay attention to what's happening in black culture, then I don't know what kind of black man you can be. You cannot be an effective black man if you do not know what's happening in the black community. So to all the Negro naysayers, you know, the Negro naysayers, these are the people who have a problem with every solution, who always have something negative to say. Oh, whatever. I just want y'all to know I am not here to beef with you. I'm not here to beef with you. In fact, on Twitter, when I brought it up and I was asking a question about the beef and stuff like that, and I said, is there something? Is it just black men? Like, are we the only ones that have a culture where you can die because somebody made a song? Like, what's up with all these beefs? Like, do white comedians, like Jerry Seinfeld, is he beefing with other comedians the way Cat Williams is? Like, just help me understand this. And then somebody came along and said, you're beefing with Corey Holcomb. You were beefing with Corey Holcomb, Doc, and you beef with Yvette Carnell, and you beef with Kwame Brown. So you need to give people the same grace they gave you. I said, well, first of all, if you will look at the record, you'll know that I did not beef with any of those people. I didn't beef with Corey Holcomb. I didn't. Corey, first of all, Corey is a brilliant comedian. What do I look like beefing with a comedian? What am I going to do? Out joke you? What am I going to do? Have like a like release joke albums and like try to see who can make people laugh the most? Well, I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose that because Corey's a damn good comedian. He's a damn good comedian. Now, Corey got mad at me because, I said something he didn't like, and I acknowledged that. But you know what we did? Let me tell y'all. See, people don't know. Let me tell y'all what happened with the Corey Holcomb so-called beef. Because the guy, I guess he thought he had me in a I gotcha moment or whatever. I said, no, here's what happened. You know what me and Corey did? Corey threw some shots, and he said some things, and he made a lot of videos. And when I see that happening, you know what I see? I see what J. Cole saw with Kendrick. I see somebody that's hurting. I see that, okay, look, I said something that probably offended you. And you know what we did? We got on the phone and we settled it like grown men. We have a mutual friend named Willie D from the Ghetto Boys. Willie D was also around when Tupac got killed. And he told me that when he heard Hit Him Up, he got concerned because he said somebody's about to get killed. And he didn't care about the music at that point. It was thinking about people actually getting killed. So me, Willie, and Corey got on the phone. We settled our beef. And then I said, you know, why don't we do this publicly? Or maybe it was Corey's idea. I have no idea. But whoever's idea it was, we all agreed. And we got on Willie D's channel and we talked it out like men. And people did not like that. People want to see a beef. They want to see black men fight because they're used to that. They're used to seeing black men at each other's throats. But let me just tell you this. You're right. I've been in these internet streets a long time. I've got over 1 billion views on my videos. I probably made 25,000 videos in the last 15 years. And let me tell you, there has never been a time where there was somebody, some other dude beefing with me across the internet where I didn't say, okay, you know, get on the phone if you have something to say to me. I'm not gonna throw shots across the internet. That's not of interest to me. That is not fun. Umar Johnson, he can still call me. I told him that 10 years ago. I would tell him that today. Kwame Brown, I said, get Kwame on the phone. Why won't Kwame talk to me? Why would you talk on the internet but not talk in person? Do you understand that escalation only makes things worse? That was the real conversation. So long story short, I would just tell you that people that have any sort of experience in conflict resolution, they understand how escalation can be very dangerous. Let me know if you understand what I'm saying. That what happens is that when you get into a space like hip hop, a very toxic space, not that all hip hop is toxic, not that all rap is bad. Drake is bad, but not all rap is bad. I'm just playing. I'm showing my bias because I ain't gonna lie. I'm more Team Kendrick. I'm a Kendrick Lamar fan. Drake, I never understood. I felt like Drake was for the ladies. Anybody who walks around with a heart in his head, calling himself a certified lover boy, I get it. You're a lover boy. You ain't loving on me because we ain't going to no Diddy party. So you're not my lover boy, but you're somebody else's lover boy. And I get it. But I'm not a boy and you ain't going to be my lover. So certified lover boy never vibed with me. Kendrick vibed with me. But that's my bias. And I acknowledge that. With that said, though, here's what I want to kind of process on this Drake thing and this Kendrick Lamar situation. All right. So do me a favor. Hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, please. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. First things first. I think that we need to really acknowledge, give me a yes if you agree, that black men collectively, we can really benefit from those in our community who understand conflict resolution. Give me a yes if you agree that some conflict resolution skill could save a lot of lives, could make the world a little bit easier for everybody, could help with our mental health, could keep us from traumatizing each other. Give me a yes if you agree with that. And if you agree, I hope you agree, because let me tell you why I love the Nation of Islam. The reason I love the Nation of Islam is because the Nation of Islam, it does a better job of rehabilitating the black male than any social worker I have ever seen, than any organization I have ever seen, any therapist I've ever seen. Any system I've ever seen. There is no system, no therapist, no institution, no hospital, no nothing that can rehabilitate the black male and black male relationships better than the Nation of Islam. So you know what Drake and Kendrick need to do now that somebody done got shot? I don't know if Kendrick's got anything to do with it, but damn, it's a damn coincidence that a drive-by happens at Drake's. I mean, you know, Kendrick's from the land of the drive-by, by the way, Compton, right? So it's more than a coincidence that a drive-by happens to happen right at the peak of your beef. I'm not saying Kendrick had anything to do with it, but damn, I mean, come on now. This is crazy. So now that this has happened, you know what they need to call? They need to get on the phone and they need to call Farrakhan. They need to call Louis Farrakhan or Brother Nuri Muhammad or Brother Wesley Muhammad or somebody in the Nation of Islam to resolve this beef, because you need somebody that's going to resolve things in a way that is loving. You need people that are going to resolve things in a way where they're not profiting from your demise. You need people involved who aren't just sitting there waiting for another hit record, who aren't trying to make another dollar. See, a Lior Cohen, if you don't know Lior Cohen, he's one of those people that runs the music industry. He's one of those, Damon Dash refers to him as a culture vulture, if I'm not mistaken. The Lior Cohens of the world, they don't want to see you live. They don't want to see you prosper. Why would they want to see you live? Did y'all know an artist's work goes up in value once he dies? Y'all do know that, right? When artists die, their value of their work goes up. So for them, Negroes are worth more dead than alive half the damn time. Right? In fact, when all these rappers get killed, I'm really looking to see who had life insurance policies on these guys, who stood to benefit from their demise. Why is nobody really investigating this? So let's just be clear. You've got people involved who want to see you die. This is nothing new. This happened during Tupac and Biggie. You had people in the middle. You had the Vlad TVs at the time, which weren't, it wasn't Vlad TV. It was like, you know, these magazines, Double XL and all that. And they wanted to see these rappers beef. They wanted to see them fight. They wanted to see them go at it because that sells more magazines. War sells. War sells because you can sell weapons to both sides. You can get magazine sales talking about developments in the war. So effectively, war sells. So what really the problem is to me is that these beefs have a very real implication for Black people. It's real. You know, we when somebody dies, it's not usually Lior Cohen's relatives that get killed. It's somebody in our community. And I really think that this beef is bad because it's just like, man, like, can't we do better than this? Like, what's really happening here? And it's okay if it's just a competition of who can be the best rapper, but for us, it seems to mean so much more. It's more than just who can make the best song. It is who can destroy the other one the fastest. That's what concerns me. Okay, so anyway, do me a favor. Hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, thumbs up. Share, subscribe. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins. You're watching DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent Black people. If you have Spotify or Apple, this podcast is on Spotify and Apple. And every morning we do financial church. We do something called financial consciousness training. I'm a finance PhD, and I help you. This is a free class in the Black Business School. We meet every single morning, and all we do is we elevate our understanding of money, our financial vision. When you gain financial vision, you will see the money, and you'll be able to make money without having to bust raps and play basketball and do crazy stuff. You can actually do things in a way that is more empowering, like sell stock options or make investments. So if you'd like to join us, just text the word morning to 87948, MORNING, morning to 87948. And also, even tonight, we have real estate expert Shalay Camila coming into the Black Business School, and she's going to do a private conversation on the real estate market and opportunities that exist there. If you'd like to do a free trial in our private real estate club, you can go to drboycerealestate.com and do a $1 trial, 30-day money back guarantee, and join these private discussions with real estate experts in our midst. So anyway, let's keep going here. Hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. So let me ask y'all a question about Kendrick Lamar and Drake. Okay, so and I want to ask this in a way where we can sort of just figure this out. First off, I want to ask y'all this. So it's very common for us to see rappers beefing. It's very common to see rappers dying. It's very common to just see beef in general. If you remember, a lot of us got very excited because we saw Cat Williams literally doing a scorched earth policy on Club Shay Shay. How many of y'all watched Cat Williams on Club Shay Shay? That interview probably got 50 million views. I don't quite understand exactly why it did. I just know that it was interesting. Cat is a brilliant guy. He's very, very funny. And the interview was interesting largely because Cat was really, really sort of railing on a lot of other comedians. I mean, Cat was he was starting beefs, finishing beefs, bringing up beefs from 20 years ago. So-and-so stole my joke back in 1999, and just a lot of really interesting stuff. And so this Club Shay Shay interview was interesting to me because I really said, man, this is so fascinating because now all the comedians are retaliating. Every comedian on earth has something to say. A bunch of comedians were on their Instagrams the next morning talking about the interview. There were people coming out saying, well, no, you say Cedric the Entertainer stole your joke. Well, you stole somebody else's joke, right? So it got to the point where I knew the inevitable happened. You started seeing a lot of escalation. You saw other people saying, well, you say I did this. Well, you did that. And you say he did this. Well, he did that. And so Dave Chappelle, if you recall, he kind of came in the way J. Cole came in the Kendrick Lamar beef. J. Cole and Dave Chappelle, the thing that they both have in common is that they both have a level of consciousness and intelligence that a lot of people don't have. They have a consciousness where they say, do we see the big picture here of what's really happening? Dave Chappelle, he really pissed people off because he said, why are we destroying each other like this? Why are we out here? We're all trying to struggle. We're all black men trying to make it in comedy. Why can't we lift each other up? Why are we determined to tear each other down? And that caused a little bit of a conflict. But here's my point. Here's where I'm going to say that Dave Chappelle had a point on this. It became World War III among comedians. And I thought it was crazy. I said the black community has some of the most gangster-ass comedians I have ever seen. You look in other communities, comedians don't walk around like thugs. They're not threatening to beat each other's asses on stage. And all. Cause I saw it. I literally saw a comedian, I think it was Faison Love or something, who said to another comedian, if I see you, I'm going to beat your ass. It's on sight. And I'm like, wow, we got some gangster, like we got gangster clowns. Like white people don't have comedians like that. I can't think of a single white comedian who was threatening to beat up another comedian on stage. Not to put white people on a pedestal or nothing like that. I'm not saying that at all. But I do think it's really funny that we have like these gangster ass clowns. Like you're a clown, dude. Like you make jokes. You know, you make jokes for a living. But yet you're trying to be a thug too. You know, like I'm a thug, he's a thug, she's a thug, we's a thug. Wouldn't you like to be a thug nigga too? I just don't understand it. I just don't understand this gangster clown thing and all this fighting amongst comedians. So I want to ask y'all a question. Give me a yes or no. Can y'all name, you know, any recent beefs in the last, let's say, year where white comedians, like, I don't know, Jerry Seinfeld, I can't name a lot of white comedians, to be honest with you, because I don't keep up with them like that. But can y'all name any white comedians that were, like, threatening to beat each other's asses on stage, accusing each other of stealing jokes, calling each other gay? Just, I don't know. I'm not saying that I'm not, again, this is not to put white people on a pedestal. It's really to kind of, you know, it's really to kind of make us sort of look at this and say, what in the hell is happening in our culture that even the comedians are fighting, even the clowns want to be gangsters? And I just don't get that. I don't understand why people who want unity or people who want to sort of de-escalate are seen as simps. Like something's wrong with you. Like, oh no, you're not really keeping it gangster. Like you're not a tough guy because you actually want peace with another black man. I just don't understand that. And the only thing that I can really come back to is trauma. You guys know when we created the Black Financial Therapy Department in the Black Business School, it's the first ever Black Financial Therapy Department ever created in history. There's not another one anywhere on earth. One of the things that we did determine in our research with therapists is that undiagnosed, untreated trauma is the number one problem in the black community. And so what traumatized people do is they have trauma responses to things. And trauma response basically means you make me mad, I want to fight. You make me mad, I can't trust you no more. You make me mad, it reminds me of the fact that my daddy was mean to me or my mama wasn't shit or whatever, and or the things I went through that hurt my feelings when I was a kid in the hood. So as a result of the fact that you just hurt me, you hurt my feelings, I'm going to hurt you more than you hurt me. And then, of course, you're going to come back with your trauma response, which is going to be worse than mine. And you're going to hurt me more than I hurt you. And then I'm going to hurt you more than you hurt me, which was more than I hurt you. And then next thing you know, somebody's dead. Next thing you know, we have like the rapper from the Migos, Takeoff, who got killed last year. You have other artists and all kinds of stuff happening that just really shouldn't be happening. So I really just think it's just fascinating that we have these sort of unique cultural variations that I don't really see anywhere else. I've never seen Jerry Seinfeld say, you know, if I see that nigga, I'm gonna whoop his ass. I've never seen any of the white comedians. I can't name them all. I don't know a lot of them. Seth, the guy from The Tonight Show or whatever his name is. I've never seen him say, you know, let me tell you, he stole my joke. He ain't shit. F that mother ucka, you know, like it's just kind of and then here's the thing too, though. Remember that these beefs end in violence. So with Drake and Kendrick, that's a situation where somebody has actually gotten shot. In Tupac and Biggie, that ended up with both Tupac and Biggie in a casket. Every single year, a rapper gets shot. There's a rapper getting shot every single year. So really, it's interesting because it's almost like the gangster rapper culture spills over into other areas, like in athletics. You remember Gilbert Arenas? I remember him pulling a gun out in the locker room. Why is a basketball player carrying a gun? What's happening here, right? And then you spill over into comedy, and you've got comedians threatening to beat each other up and whoop each other's asses and destroying each other's careers. And I just don't know. This is a serious question. Does this really happen as rampantly in the white community, or is this particular dysfunction? Now, white people got their own dysfunctions. Y'all crazy too, in your own way. Y'all got nuclear weapons and stuff. So y'all crazy too. And y'all giving all that money to Israel so they can go bomb those kids in Palestine. So let's not let white folks off the hook for the nonsense they do. But I really, really, really want to understand what's happening here and why we have, like, even if you just look in comedy, we literally have gangster clowns. We literally have clowns that want to be thugs. Like, you tell jokes for a living, bro. Like, you make me laugh. You're not supposed to scare me. You're not supposed to threaten to kill my whole family. You're not supposed to, you know, threaten to beat my ass when you see me on stage. So I connect the Drake and Kendrick Lamar beef to what I saw with Cat Williams and Club Shay Shay. Everybody loves black men when they beef. Everybody likes that. People egg it on. And so when you have a brilliant guy like a J. Cole come along, and I say brilliant because J. Cole came along and said, man, I don't want no parts of this. This is not appropriate. This is not cool. This is not beneficial. You have people in the crowd, and you saw these people online. Man, that's a punk move. That's a punk move. And I've seen that before because I had there was a guy who's on the internet. I forgot his name, but he Anton Daniels, who apparently he started beefing with me online and saying things or whatever because he didn't like what I said. And I'm used to that, right? I've been around for a while, so usually when someone comes around, they might bring my name up as a way to kind of strengthen their own platform. But now he has a great platform. He has it on his own, so he doesn't need me to strengthen his platform. But he was, he had a lot to say to me or whatever. And one time he was in my chat and I said, why don't you just come in, because I like to talk to you. I'd like to talk to you face to face. I like to face people when they talk crazy about me and my wife. You don't even know my wife, but I'd like to just get to know you and see what's really going on, brother. Like, what's happening that's causing you to be so angry at me, and I didn't even know who you are. And we got on the air. You know what we did? We talked it out. We just talked. And I got criticism. I had people that got mad at me because I was not fighting with him. And I was like, because I don't want to fight with him. Maybe he has a point. Maybe he's right about some things. I want to learn from him. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to figure out what I did to hurt your feelings. That was my goal. If anybody ever bumps into Kwame Brown, tell him, I would love to know what caused you to be so angry with me, a man that you've never met, that you did 8 or 9 videos about me in a row. Like, I just really was very curious. I thought we had a lot in common. We're both friends with Judge Joe Brown, and we both love Dr. Claude Anderson. He's like a father to me. Why are you mad at me, bro? Like, what's happening here? Let's talk, right? And I really don't think black men do that enough. I really don't. I really think that we should just literally have a model that deals with beef that says, let's talk. Let's talk, bro. Let's heal, bro. Let's apologize, bro. And this is where I think you need to start listening as a community. We need to listen to the J. Coles. Because if more black men listen to the J. Coles out here, you would have less dead Negroes on the street. You would have less dead black men filling up the morgue. You would have less traumatized people. You would have less people walking around with their feelings hurt, with a chip on their shoulder, ready to fight at the drop of a hat. If people were forced to talk, the drama would unfold, because it's much easier for me to lob horrific statements at you from across the internet than it is for me to look you in the eye and get to know you as a human being and really, really talk to you like a person. Let me give you an example. This is a real thing, a very subtle statement, but it had heavy implications. Anybody remember, how many of y'all are old enough to remember when Common and Ice Cube had a beef? Anybody remember when Common and Ice Cube back in the day had a little beef going on? So Common, I don't know if Common's a rapper or an actor, but basically they had a beef way back in the day. Ice Cube and Common, apparently somehow, I have no idea how Common ended up beefing with Ice Cube. It was very weird to me because they're not similar in terms of style and genre, but somehow there was a beef. And let me tell you what happened. This is the formula. This is the remedy, that your medicine isn't in Big Pharma. Your medicine's in your own community. So let me tell you what happened. Because the Tupac Biggie thing had happened just a few years earlier, the Nation of Islam got involved. Louis Farrakhan got involved. If I was in charge of the national budget, I would give the Nation of Islam $50 billion a year. I'd give them $100 billion like we give in Israel and Ukraine so they can go in and fix your community. The same way we send $100 billion over to Israel and Ukraine so they can go and fight Russians that I don't know and go and blow up Palestinian kids. They should take that $100 billion and give it to the Nation of Islam so they can actually do some counseling for these brothers so they stop beating each other up. So Ice Cube and Common got into this beef. And here's the thing. I don't know Common. He seems like a nice guy. Ice Cube, I do know he is a nice guy. And I don't understand how these two got in a beef. But let me tell you what happened. When those two talked, when the Nation of Islam got them together, and maybe I'm telling the story wrong. If I say something wrong, please correct me. Forgive it. Chalk it up to my ignorance. But from what I understand, the Minister Farrakhan got both of them together. They talked, and then they interviewed Common. And you know what he said? He said, man, I talked to Ice Cube, and he's actually a pretty cool dude. He's a pretty cool dude. So here's the thing. I think that a lot of times when you fight with somebody, especially when you talk about a beef, and you're lobbing stuff across the way, 9 times out of 10, it's one of two things. Either one, you don't know the person and you're fighting their image because they're doing better than you, and they're selling more records than you, or they're more popular than you, and you think that you have to punch the big guy in the mouth in order to level yourself up. That's one thing. Or two, which I think could be true in the case of Drake and Kendrick, you used to be friends and something happened. You used to be buddies, and somehow there was a disagreement. Somebody didn't get what they wanted. Somebody didn't get their money. Somebody somebody cut somebody off or something like that. Usually that's what I see. And so in both of those situations, in my opinion, in one situation, you're beefing with your shadow boxing. You're fighting. You're not fighting the person. You're fighting the image of the person. So if you actually met the person and talked to the person, you probably wouldn't be as gangster in their face as you are over the internet or over a record. And then number two, if you used to be friends, like Biggie and Pac used to be friends. If you used to be friends, then what needs to happen is you need a mediator so you can both sit down and process your hurt feelings, apologize to each other, and then you know what happens? You get back to being friends again. You get back to being, see, Drake and Kendrick, I'm not sure. I don't know the whole history here, but I believe they used to be cool and now they're not cool. Now they hate each other. I believe they could be cool again. And what Drake and Kendrick need to do, in my opinion, is man up, get on the phone, talk it out, and then say, you know what, bro, with all this attention we've gathered now, why don't we get together and go on tour? We will literally make more money than Taylor Swift right now if we go on tour together. Fighting each other, people going to end up dead. People going to end up sued. Billions will be lost. Lots of opportunities will be thrown out the window. The media is going to make money from this because they love to watch black people take each other out. But if we come together and resolve this, then we will make more money than Taylor Swift. I don't know if that sounds crazy to some people. Maybe some people don't get it. But those of you that do, I hope you'll at least hear what I'm saying here. The opposite of an enemy is not a dead enemy. Like the goal with an enemy should not be to destroy the enemy. The goal of a powerful enemy should be, if you can, make that enemy into a friend. And I think these two guys could still work together. I really do. But then again, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm just hallucinating here. All right. So anyway, the last thing I'm going to say is this, and then I got to go. We're about to do our real estate gathering in a couple of minutes. First thing, the next thing I'm going to ask y'all is this. Hit the thumbs up button. I see rappers all the time beefing with each other. And one thing that I find is really fascinating is that they'll beef with each other all day, but they never beef with white supremacy. They'll beef with each other all day, but they'll never beef with the white folks that run the music industry. They beef with each other all day, but they'll never beef with Lee or Cohen. They will never beef with police brutality. They'll never beef with poverty in America. They won't beef against racism. They won't beef against the racial wealth gap. Why are you scared to beef against that? You won't beef against all the broken families in your community. You won't start a beef against diabetes and all the diseases killing black folks. You won't beef against the gun industry that's making a profit from killing you. You won't beef against these corrupt politicians that are using your people, but yet you'll beef with each other all day. You want to see your brother die, but you're scared to step up to the people that are running this damn industry. You will fight all day in the cage, but won't fight the sons of bitches, the motherfuckers who built the damn cage. And that bothers me. That bothers me. That bothers me because that reflects a lack of consciousness. And that also is a little bit of a punk move. So my feeling is, look, before you start beefing with your brother, I want to see if there are any other people out here that are more worthy of a beef. And I guarantee you, the Lee or Cohens of the world, the people who are sitting back making money, watching you all destroy each other, I would say that should be next on your beef list. That's the rapper that's going to impress me, the one who beefs with white supremacy, the one who beefs with the people that are the slave masters in the record industry that have made money destroying our people. That's the next beef I want to see on the list. That's the album I'm going to listen to. I got to go, guys. I'm done. And if you want to know who I'm beefing with, that's what I'm beefing against. I'm beefing with the racial wealth gap. And guess what? I put out an album every day, and my album's always a hit, and I'm winning the beef. I'm winning the beef. In the Black Business School, we are winning the beef with the racial wealth gap. We've already solved it. We've kicked it in its ass, stomped it out. Now all we got to do is implement. So that's my beef. If you ever want to know who Dr. Boyce is beefing with, it ain't nobody on the internet. I'm beefing with the racial wealth gap. And just like when Drake drops a hot album or Tupac drops an album, I'm the Tupac of finance, damn it. I am dropping an album every single day, just like Kendrick was putting out them songs. I'm putting out a new album every day, and every album I put out is a banger because I'm beefing with white supremacy. I'm beefing with the racial wealth gap, and I'm winning the damn beef, and I'm not going to stop until I'm done. So I got to go, guys. Have a great day. Thank you so much for listening. Please hit the thumbs up button if you want to join us tomorrow morning for financial consciousness training. All you got to do is text the word morning to 87948. Text morning to 87948. We meet every single morning, 7 days a week at 10 a.m. Eastern in the Black Business School right here in a private Zoom. So text morning to 87948. I'll send you an invitation. Last but not least, I have a new book out called The 10 Commandments of Black Economic Power. If you'd like to get a copy, you can go to drboycebooks.com. All right, guys, I'm out of here. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day, and I'll see you soon. Peace.
Here we are, clan the isms, cataclysm, great. Our people out here struggling, trying to make it in this state. Everybody out here doing it, but we the ones who late. Now, family, we the ones who gotta delegate. Get that money in the power, never be fake. Stick to cosign for three. What did he say? Create jobs, support our own. Educate the same and buy back your home. Got 3 degrees, triple 10. 3 PhDs, now we on the CNN. DBTV, let's talk about negligence. Ignorance is bliss, but we can turn it to intelligence. Believe none of what you hear, half of what you see. Let's break it down here on Dr. Boyce TV. Here.